on, as a matter of fact, here. So we have a quorum of the Audit Committee. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. So our agenda item is to review and approve the minutes of the February 16th, 2018 committee meeting. Held on February 16th, I said that. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections in the minutes? Anybody? All right, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 16th, 2018? All right, Vince?
Second.
Lori? Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, okay. Next, we have the agency's review of activities, audit activities.
The Department of Banking is first, Madam Chair. So on page 5, you will say that the outstanding items for audit, it says none, and that's true, but I want to tell you some items that are pending. We received the draft report from the comptroller for the payments and travel audit, and we got that last Friday. So we're working on our response. Hopefully the final report will be ready so we can present it at the next meeting. Then secondly, the Texas Workforce Commission is coming in late April or early May for the audit of employee policies and procedures. And thirdly, as y'all know, our internal audit contract expires on August 31st, and we don't have any more renewal periods in the contract. So we will be sending out an RFP in May. The audit committee will need to interview candidates sometime in August. So we'll work with you, Madam Chair, to come up with the best time, depending on how many applications we get. And then finally, our budget hearing for 2019 is set for Monday, August the 13th. That's our public hearing. At 11 o'clock, it will be here at this location, and it will be broadcast for those members that do not attend. And that's all we have.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
I appreciate Garza Gonzalez's good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've done a good job historically.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're next.
Savings and Mortgage Lending, page 6. We have two new audits that are about to start. One is the comptroller's payment and procurement, post-payment and procurement audit. Field work begins May 7th, and then internal audit, Garza Gonzalez, thrift supervision begins May 14th. Field work begins May 14th.
Then the, are you?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And then the Office of Consumer Credit Commission report is on page 8. And this is reporting the completion of the finding from our recent DPS audit of our use of criminal history information for internal use for employees and potentially vendors or what have you. So we have completed that particular item. So that would complete all of our outstanding findings. In terms of pending items, as you may recall, I've been reporting to you that we had a post-payment audit of payroll and expenditures by the comptroller. For which the field work was performed in October, and our field work actually predated the Department of Banking's field work. We still have no draft report, so I don't know what the holdup necessarily is on our particular report, but someday we'll get it. And that's all I have at this point.
So, Madam Chair, I'd like to mention it last meeting, but you know, we've historically, it's been said that the banking department agencies, or excuse me, the finance commission agencies don't get audited very often. I think the members can tell that that's certainly, we have audits going on constantly. And Will's not here to say who cares, but I just want to let y'all know that if you hear that we don't get audited, you certainly can tell them otherwise.
I don't know, I have a couple clients that feel your pain.
Well, I can understand.
Okay. How about the investment reports?
Okay, the first one for the banking department is first on page 9. It's our trust funded prepaid guarantee fund report. again, what I call normal activity of interest income and a few other deductions and additions. Normal activity, any questions that anybody has about the details?
Just for understanding, on the footnote, it talks about a $4,700 amount since the controller's office. So we're paying a reimbursement to somebody. We're issuing it. Is there some place we got to reimburse for that?
Vince, actually, that is an escheatment to the comptroller, and we probably should have used the word escheatment in there to clarify. It's money that's been held that, but per the escheatment rules, we have to turn over to the comptroller.
So if we got the money, tried to give it to the individual, and couldn't be found, and then so it's escheatment.
I got it. I understood that better.
Okay.
Like the 7-year deal.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, then if you turn page 10, it's the insurance funded funeral guarantee fund, and again, normal activity there. Any questions there? And then on page 11, we do not have any seized funds at this time. And that's all we have.
Thanks, Charles.
Savings and mortgage lending is on page 12 and 13. It's the recovery fund investment officer report. We'd be glad to answer any questions.
Well, mine would be is that you've got some coming up in 2018, some immediately, it looks like. And I just think there's a lot better rates to get out there. Now, I've not said that before. I have checked some of the state banks, DFW area, and they said that the ones I've talked to, they'd be glad to take state deposits.
And what we've done as these come up is to research whether to put them in. And Antonio, do you want to talk about what you've done? Because yes, we realize that some of these are lower than at this point in time. There's some better, but we may put them into the state trust.
In particular, the one that just matured on April the 9th, we did not renew that one.
Would you say your name if you don't mind?
Oh, I'm sorry. Antonio Anto, Savings and Mortgage Lending. The CD that matured on April the 9th was with a Capital Bank, which was the state savings bank, but it merged into Sunflower Bank, which is a national bank, I believe, so we did not renew this one. The money is back into trust, which they pay right around 1%, so that was it's almost the same rate. And, you know, the point of the CDs was not necessarily to make a lot of money for the fund, but to make better interest rate than the trust at that point of time, which was nothing, barely. The fund right now is over $4 million, so really our goal was not to make a lot of money on these.
Well, yeah, I understand not making a lot of money, but on the flip side, it's stewardship of the public's funds, and so.
So
I'm not saying we go out on the market either.
Right. When we first, years ago, when we first did the CD thing, the CDs would get a better interest rate than the state
safekeeping
trust. Now for some of these, that's changed. So as these come up for renewal, we will probably not be renewing them. We'll be putting that money into the state.
And so, some of our state savings banks are not interested at all to get our CDs. As Stephanie Newberg talked about in last meeting, this is a big burden to do these CDs. With every bank has different paperwork. Our personal information is with each bank, mine and Caroline's, social security numbers. It's the process is very convoluted, and at some point, it's we have to ask the question: is it worth it at all to do this?
So it will end up going into the investment fund, so not necessarily cash, but it could actually go into different.
It will go into
securities.
The state. Well, what's in the state safekeeping?
Safekeeping trust, they deposit as part of a pool, and if it's not invested in a different way, it just goes with the overnight.
Right, so we can have it in the pool. We could have it where they. Let me think about how
essentially
that
essentially there's sounds like a money market. Right.
What they do is overnight repurchase agreements, yes. So it's liquid all the time, but it still
support the committee's information that that rate right now is roughly 1.25, something like that.
Yes, 1.26 at the end of February.
That's pretty close to 1.25.
That's pretty damn close.
Any other questions? Okay, your next one?
That's it.
Okay.
Okay, and then the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report starts on page 14. It's normal activity in the mortgage loan originator recovery trust fund you see on that page. And then on page 15 is the financial education endowment fund. There's been some activity, of course, in that that fund over the first second quarter. As you will recall from the last meeting, there was a transfer of funds from Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, and so you'll see the additions there in cash that relate partially to that transfer. And then there was also, we just completed in the second quarter, the renewal cycle for the credit access businesses, and so that's their annual assessment that comes into this fund. So those are also shown in cash at this point. And if you look down in the invested portfolio, you'll see the change in value column there. You'll see some movement of cash that we had already, during the first quarter, we've made a movement of cash into the investment portfolio. You see that redistribution among the and allocated among the different asset classes, and then we'll see in the second quarter, you'll see this in the, I guess during the third quarter report, but we'll make another, there'll be another staging of cash movement into the investment portfolio in the third quarter, so you'll see that at the next report. But the fund continues to perform well, and things seem like they're going fine.
So the first line investments, STIF, was negative $500,000. You're just saying it moved from there down into these other.
Yeah, that's the short-term invested funds, and so yeah, those will be just those were redistributed.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's February 28, 2018 investment officer reports?
So moved.
Lori? Vince? Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next we have the discussion on possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's 2018 second quarter financial statements.
Banking department is first on page 17. Sammy Chadley, would you go over that, please?
Good morning. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 17 is our operating statement for quarter two. Our actual revenues are at 105.2% for the quarter and 103% for the year. And then our actual expenditures are at 94.1% for the quarter and 95.6% for the year. On page 18 are our variance explanations. I'm going to go over three items. The first one is the non-bank regulation. Basically, our revenues were in excess of budget due to unanticipated penalties for money service businesses that were collected. However, future assessments will be waived to offset this overage. Second item is the classified salaries and employee benefits. So the positive variance relates to vacant staff positions. As of February 28th, we had three administrative and 14 examiner positions that were vacant. Currently, we have 10 outstanding postings and four that closed, and those are being set up for interviews. The last item is other operating. We have a negative balance, and that is related to unbudgeted headquarter buildings expenditures related to the elevator and boiler project that TFC, Test Facilities Commission, is going to be in charge of. Any questions on that?
So let me add, so you see the variance, if you will, down at the bottom, that's basically $1 million. So we're coming up on our fourth quarter assessment. What we will normally do is, let me back up. Most of the variations are coming from positions that haven't been filled. We have several of those. For instance, our regional director in Lubbock resigned 90 days ago, for instance, and his salary is, has not been expended, and we've got, we have a notice out there for applications. Then there are some positions, and we've always talked about this at budget time, that we have specialty positions for people with experience. And we have those out there, and we want to have the money available. If the folks don't apply and or they don't have the right kind of experience, we do not fill that position. We've been doing that for quite a while, basically since the recession. And so now it's a time to, we will adjust our fourth quarter assessment down, forgiveness, if you want to call it, you can call it a discount, whatever you want to, but we'll adjust down to basically get rid of this. And so we do that. That's a historical position we've taken, and we'll do that on the fourth quarter assessment.
On page 19 is our new liquidity report, which replaces the cash flow statement that was previously prepared. I'm going to point to the total reserve cash balance. I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. Basically, that number represents items that address probable, quantifiable, and non-routine needs related to building improvement and maintenance. Also, amounts for building acquisition, amounts for that are owed or obligated by the fiscal year, by the fiscal period, and for payroll, goods, and services that have not yet been paid, and lump sum payments for eligible retirees. As of the second quarter, our unreserved funds are at 3.75 months.
Okay.
Questions?
Okay.
Next thing.
For savings and mortgage lending begins on page 20, and Antonio will present the financials.
Our materials start on page 20. This is our second quarter financial statement. There's discussion about our variances. I just want to touch on a couple of things. During the second quarter, we received two settlements to almost $85,000, and our penalties are at almost $300,000. Our total expenditures are 97% of budget. The only item that we're under budget significantly is travel. This is to some extent timing, because second quarter usually is very slow with travel because of all the holidays. A lot of exams are not scheduled then, but it's going to pick up in the third and fourth quarter. Any questions on the financials?
Yeah,
sure.
I had a little bit lost in this for some reason. The second column, fiscal year 2018, we have budgeted $5,571,000 for total income for the year.
Yes.
And in 5 months, we've already received $4,500,000.
Yeah, usually most of our revenue comes in the first and second quarter, because that's when the licensing, all the licenses get renewed. In the third quarter, we have thrift assessments and just normal licensing activity. In the fourth quarter, we do not have thrift assessments because we waived the fourth quarter. So third and fourth quarter are very low on revenues, historically.
Which is unlike the other two, not that we're comparing those three agencies.
No, it's just a different timing. Everyone has different times when they renew licenses.
Yeah, licenses per statute, all the mortgage licenses renew at the same time period through November through December, with reinstatement through February. So that's set as, and since most of our revenue comes from mortgage licenses,
okay.
So that means that those 3 months we get higher on revenue.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our liquidity report is on page 22. This is the new format that Sammy explained. We're down to 11.6 months from 12.5 last time. And the third and the fourth quarter, due to lower revenues, as we talked, it's going to continue to go down. The charts representing the cash reserve are on page 23. And on page page 24 is according to the new liquidity policy is our cash balance management plan. At this point, we project that our cash balance will be over 6 months at year end, not much over six, but some. So at this point, we are presenting our cash balance management plan with all the actions that we're taking to bring that fund balance, the cash balance into compliance with the current policy. Any questions?
Okay, and then the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report is on page 25. However, these were the two reports that were emailed to you in the last few days, and there's a hard copy at your table if you're working off the paper. and there was just the difference is a change in the revenue amount. There was an entry, there is an issue, a technical glitch that happened with the system, and there's a revenue recognition issue that, anyway, so that's the difference. So that the revenues are presented, they're at 113% year-to-date budget. So those are continuing along a little bit high in a couple of areas. We see a couple of groups, the debt management services is coming in a little bit high. That's not a huge area. The refund anticipation loan assessment group is also showing a little bit of strength in their activity. Again, it's not a really large group. Mortgage loan originators is one that came in quite a bit higher than we anticipated. And I'll show you a little bit of more detail on that when we get to the licensing report. That one hung in there, a much greater rate of retention through renewals than we expected. The other big number in there is the number which we have grouped together just for demonstration, for presentation purposes, the penalties and late fees. Actually, only $40,000 of that particular total of $260,000 is penalties. The rest is all late fees, folks that have chosen not to pay assessments on time or whatever. So that's what's going on with the revenue there. We're in a period of time where all that second quarter we've completed a number of our renewal cycles. The next renewal cycles don't really begin until late May or mid-May, and then we'll have that's for the pawn shops, and then the motor vehicles will have their renewal in the summer. So we'll see the next group of revenue coming in there. Expenditures are running at 93.6%, and so that's salaries are at 94%, travel's a little low at 90. Again, same reason, second quarter is always a little bit low. That'll probably tick back up in the third quarter. And then we've had some other operating's a little high, some of the building expenditures, but also we experienced a greater cost associated with the online transaction fees that are associated with all the online renewals, and that came in higher than we anticipated. Acquisition of IT technology is high, but that's really just a seasonal. We purchased those earlier in the year. So that's the financial statement and the budget variances, and the liquidity report is on page 27, or it's the revised version. and again, this had to do with the revenue recognition and the receivables, and the bottom line, the cash was correct. It was just this other entry that affected it. So it's this new report format, as you've already heard the explanation of. We are at a high point right now in the year. Second quarter is typically high. I've done a little bit further analysis of our liquidity, but we are at 7.48 months. Third quarter tends to be our low point of the year. And so we've looked forward trying to forecast where we expect that to be. We expect it to be right around 6 months, maybe 6.1. We'll see where that ends up. But we're working, monitoring that very, very closely and trying to manage that back in within the guidelines.
Any questions or anything else? Okay. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2018 second quarter financial results?
So moved.
Lori?
I'll take a second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
No opposed. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Next, we have the discussion of impossible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the reserve and expenditure of funds for building deferred maintenance. Charles?
Okay, Stephanie, I'm coming forward to you also. So let me kick it off. You have this handout, one-page handout that talks about the what we're going to ask the Audit Committee and then subsequently the Finance Commission to approve. We talked about it, obviously this building has been around for a while and we all know where we are in trying to move forward on a new building. It's come time that we have to do some deferred maintenance. And so Stephanie, would you walk us through the request and then I have some more information for the Audit Committee.
Sure. Over the last several months, we've been working with the Texas Facilities Commission to help us evaluate the replacement of our elevator and our boiler. Both of them are way past their useful lives, and the expenditures that we're making on a monthly basis just are growing because we're just band-aiding both of them together at this point. And so we brought the Facilities Commission in because we really just didn't have the expertise to do this kind of project on our own. There have been multiple engineers coming to the building and Facilities Commission staff. And what the Facilities Commission can do for us is add this to existing contracts. They have a really large contract for elevators in other state buildings. Who knew? And so ours will be added to that contract so they don't have to go out for an RFP.
Oh, that's cool.
And if we did this by ourselves, we would have to do the whole RFP process and hire engineers to help us just to develop the specifications for an RFP. And then the boiler project, they have contractors that they have already signed contracts with that can do the work. So we started out, I think it was about $850,000, and as the engineers began to look at it more, they've determined that our boiler currently is not under a drainage pipe, and so the boiler's gonna have to be moved to a different area. The elevator has to be in a separate room. It can't be in the exposed room. Our hot water heater has to move because the boiler has to move. The hot water heater has to be vented a different way. So it seems it has mushroomed over the last several months. But this is pretty close to what we think the final estimate's going to be. They don't have, they haven't like inked this number, but we think it's relatively close. One thing that they still have to look at is the drain that we have in the boiler room. We're not sure it's a real drain any longer, and so that could add to the cost. So what we are asking for is the approval to make the expenditure and or reserve, depending on when the contract comes through, because we have to pay virtually the entire amount up front. The Facilities Commission requires the payment. It's not progress pay. They want all the money pretty much up front. And so, and I think in the agenda item or in the script for Mrs. Curl, we put $950,000 just to cover any other contingencies that we're unaware of, or if the drainage pipe really is not a real drain any longer.
Is there any interruption in the daily operating?
For the boiler, we'll do it during the summer, and so that doesn't hurt anything. The elevator, yes. I think they're saying it could be up to 6 weeks now that we will be without an elevator.
And how does that impact the employees?
What we will have to do is move people to the second floor that can't walk the stairs to the third. We'll have to move to the first or second floor, and we'll just have to make, you know, different kinds of accommodations, or possibly move people next door that can use the elevator next door. In the rental space we have, because that won't be until the late part of 2018. I mean, we're talking like November, December timeframe. Or no, longer than that even probably, because didn't they say it would take 6 months to order the equipment? It takes 6 months to get the equipment. So once the contract's signed, it takes 6 months to get the equipment for the elevator. And originally they said just days. They've come back and talked to us recently and said 6 weeks.
So I was thinking it was.
Yeah. No, that was just the
September, October.
No, yeah. So I think October, November. So we will have to do an evaluation this summer of who cannot walk the stairs, or that it will be a hardship to walk the stairs.
So I kind of equate this to maybe whether you should put an engine in an old car, or just buy a new car. Obviously, we're trying to buy a new car, but we're not there yet. So $900, nearly $1 million is a lot of money. We went back, for the last 10 years, we have only spent $200,000 in maintenance in this building.
We've been running off.
You've used it.
We're getting a lot of miles out of this old car.
Your Pinto's about used up there, Charles.
I think it's a pacer.
So, you know, you can argue that putting this money in is not going to enhance our value in the building. That's probably true. It might enhance it to some degree. It depends when we sell. Some people may want to remodel. Some people may want to tear down. It really depends. So it's all conjecture, I would say, but it is what it is. So as Stephanie said, we're asking for $950,000 up to. But if you look down also in the lower left-hand corner, it'll show you how it will be distributed. So basically, the Department of Banking pays about 51%. OCCC about 26%, and SML about 23% of that total, whatever it will be. And all the agencies have the funds, cash available to make this expenditure.
It's not part of the liquidity calculation yet, right?
Not
yet.
We did not
go into there.
We did not put it in there because we thought it was something we needed to bring to you first.
Right.
So that's why the motion is to for the expenditure and reserve, because we're asking permission to put it in the reserve if we haven't made the expenditure by the next meeting.
Right.
We will either have it reserved or have already spent the money by the next
right.
meeting.
Right.
And the only other thing I'd like to add is I think we feel strongly that there's some growing safety concerns and other things,
right.
liability that we
sure.
need to kind of
right.
address this.
For
right.
sure.
Absolutely.
I did have one question if I could ask. So on the contingency, for obviously, I figured that was 5%, but the number keeps kind of moving a little bit. We don't have to give the contingency to TFC. We hold on to that money, right?
I think we have
or
to
do
pay
we have
them
to give
and
that
they
to
pay
us
back.
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 Lovely.
Extra.
So we give them our extra cushion and then they pay us back.
But not the cushion up to $950.
No, yeah, we will just
the cushion up to $950.
Okay, that's the where it says
the rest of
the
house.
Yes, okay, that's
the so in a nutshell, the timeline. When would you
estimate
a new boiler to be functioning? When would you estimate a new boiler would be functioning?
The new boiler will be functioning if everything goes according to the plan, but the plan has changed multiple times over the last 2 months. Would be functioning by the end of summer. So when we get to the next cold season, we will
next
have a new boiler.
Next time it's time to turn it on.
Yeah, when it's time to turn it on, we will have a new boiler. For the elevator, I think November, December, before it will be in.
And I guess we are as far away as ever.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. We're closer, but still far away.
I like your own
politician. Okay.
I guess irrespective of whether we're here 3 years or 5 years and the time it takes us
yeah.
to build potentially a new building, this building still has to function.
Yeah.
So.
And the elevator does go down
mm-hmm.
virtually
regularly.
Every week.
And
there is a problem with the elevator almost every week.
And we've had, we've piecemealed or baling wire the boiler and everything. So we're down to areas that, whether they have to make the parts now, they're not readily available. So we feel like we just have to do it.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I would add is that we've, in our budgets, year over year, budgeted for the maintenance and not spent the money, knowing that we would have a certain amount of maintenance money that needed to be expended for the building.
On those two big ticket items, what's left in the building, the roof and the AC, are those in fairly good condition?
The roof was redone not too long ago.
Yeah, after a hailstorm.
And I think everything else is in reasonably good shape. It's just the motor. So.
Any other discussion on that?
So we have.
Make a motion. Okay, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the reserve and expenditure of funds not to exceed $950,000 for building deferred maintenance?
So moved.
Lori?
Second.
Yes.
All right. Any more discussion on this? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
There's no opposed. The ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have a report on the activities relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's on page 29. There's a short report giving you a narrative that the second cycle's been closed out. They're working on a final longitudinal report, which you'll receive this summer, a full reporting of the second grant cycle, which I think you'll look forward to seeing a lot of the detail. And then the next, the 2018-2019 cycle is fully underway at this point, and we've had some observational site visits, so things continue on as they should. And Juan Garcia's here if you have any questions.
Deandra Sullivan.
I didn't see her back there. Deandra Sullivan's here if you have questions.
I think the only question that I have on that topic is, obviously, we've now added funds to TIFI. Mm-hmm. So is there a thought as to what we might do in adjusting the grant cycle for the additional funds and what we might be utilizing the next grant cycle?
That's certainly a conversation we're happy to begin having. We haven't, it has happened relatively,
right.
You know, in the near past here. But we're happy to begin having those conversations if the commission has some ideas and designs on how they want to employ that.
Well, I guess I just meant with respect to increasing the grants. Yeah. Given the additional funds that we have.
Gotcha. Any other comments or questions? Okay, there being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 8:37.